So if you guys have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in a few places. You can start in Galatians 5:13. You know, we've been looking at this series on faith. And even though the series is ending, our 90-day challenge is not. And the next month, we're going to look at vision and remind ourselves what it is that God is calling our church to do. And that, you know, to be honest, when you become a mature believer, it's no longer about what I want, about what is in it for me, what am I getting out of this, but it's about now how am I able to serve the vision and mission of what God is doing in our church so that we can be a part of the kingdom of God. Again, over and over in Acts, what do you see? They went out. What did you see them responding to? They went out. They responded to what it was that God was calling them to do. And so we understand that empowered faith is also a faith that we must have to live out not only this life that God calls us to, but then we can move forward in where God is leading us. And so he calls us to an empowered faith. It's a spirit-led faith. And so there's a couple of passages that I want to look at here in a moment that I believe speaks to this. And, you know, we realize this, is that God calls us to an empowered faith. And why is it we need an empowered faith? Why is it that we need a spirit-led life? Why is it, why did God give us the gift of the Holy Spirit? You see, we believe that God gives us this separate infilling of the Holy Spirit. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We call it the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We believe that God empowers his church and empowers his people, not just so that I can say, hey, I got my card that shows it's been punched. By any means, no, that's not what it is at all. Because actually, it's very much so that God can begin to work out in us and through us the purposes that he has for the kingdom of God through us. And in our lives. And so we live out a spirit-led life because God knows the power that is found with being filled with his Holy Spirit and then allowing the Holy Spirit to be lived out through us. And so why do I need a spirit-led faith? Because life gets hard. Because sometimes we face difficult situations. Sometimes it's because we just become self-centered and self-focused. Sometimes it's because we become distracted. Sometimes it's because there are things in our flesh, in our own life, that the enemy will try to use, that we need the Holy Spirit to come in and help us to be redirected into the right way of living or dealing with the situation or moving. And so, you know, again, you look at the book of Acts, and, you know, it says that in Acts 2 that they were filled with the Spirit, and they went out, and they spoke in other tongues, and then they impacted their community. You know, oftentimes we highlight the thing, but the thing is the thing that the reason they were filled with the Holy Spirit isn't so they could go around and be like, hey, look at what happened to me. It was about them being used by God to then go impact the world that God called them to impact, to change the lives that God had called them to change, to live out the faith that God had called them to live out, because there was a hurting world that needed to know about Jesus. There were neighbors that needed to know about the good news, about the gospel. And so, and also, Paul or Peter, very much what he needed, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we see that on his own, he would reject Jesus 3 times. But yet we see that, what did Jesus do? Jesus forgave him, still called him, but then he would become a pillar of the church, even after all he had done. But the Holy Spirit in him empowered him to then live boldly, the kind of life that God was calling him to do. Think about that. On the night that Jesus would die, he rejected him 3 times, but then a spirit-led Peter, a Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, was bold enough to speak in front of thousands of people the good news of Jesus. Because here is the key to everything. It's not about you. It's about him. It's not about, oh, I get this for my, so now I can look this way or be this way. It's about God being able to use you, because it's really about people coming to know Jesus and seeing lives change because of the work of Christ in us and through us. And so we see that, again, a spirit-empowered church, a spirit-led life, is a life that's driven to help accomplish the purpose that God has for the kingdom of God in our community. That's why we need to be a church that, more than anything, if you don't have a heart for lost people, I would question and I would encourage you to get before God so that you can have a heart for lost people. If you don't have a heart to desire pursuing a life in Christ, I would encourage you to get before God and say, God, there are things in my life so that I can make sure that my life is aligned to the kind of life that you're calling me to. And so it's a life that must be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And so Galatians 5:18, it says this, but if you're led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. And so in the Old Testament, they lived under the law. They lived under these regulations. They lived under the law that was established all the way in the beginning of the Old Testament for the people of Israel. And they found that they could not follow this law. They found that they couldn't live this out. But what happened was Jesus comes and he brings a new covenant, a new way of living. He brings a new life for people to be brought out of sin. And now he says, you're no longer under the law, where you have this book that you read and you follow all its rules, but now I'm going to put my Spirit in you and I'm going to lead you. And so when we read a lot about being no longer under the law but now under the Spirit, it's changing the nature of how we're going to live out this life that God has called us to. And so we're no longer under a law that was established for a nation, but now we're a people established to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so it's what God calls us to. Second, in Romans 8:14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. And so God calls us to an empowered faith through a Spirit-led life. It's a life that allows the Holy Spirit to lead us. It is a life that allows the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And it is a life that allows the Holy Spirit to shape us so that we can live out this life that God calls us to. A Spirit-led life reminds me that it's not about me and what I want. It's about Him and allowing Him to use me. A Spirit-led life allows the Holy Spirit to bring wholeness to my life so that I can live for Him and serve others. Here's what I often find is that when I am whole, when I am healthy, I'm focused on how I can help other people. The people, to be very honest, the people that tend to often be so most self-focused are the ones that probably are either the most wounded or needing the most care in their life. And so they focus on that. You know, when I am... Imagine my dog, when he's sick, what does he do? He focuses on that wound. You ever seen where you know a dog will get like a cut or something? Well, they'll keep licking at it. They're not paying attention to anything else but the wound that exists. And we're like that as well. We get hurt. What do we begin to do? We focus on nothing else but the wound. And I find that if my life is becoming focused on myself, that probably means there's something that needs to be dealt with. And I need to let the Holy Spirit begin to be at work. Because when I'm healthy, I find that it's not about me and what I want, but it's about how I can be used by God to be able to impact the world for His kingdom. And so we recognize that, and so we see that. And so, you know, so whether it's, you know, what we're doing as a church body, or whether it's what you're doing among your family or in our community, when we're healthy, we're better able to be used by God to impact the world that He calls us to, and to impact the people that we have relationship with. So the first thing that we realize this is that we are called to have empowered prayer. We see in a couple of verses, Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Spirit-led prayer, what was it? It was putting prayer before God. It was praying for other people. And the Spirit-led prayer makes me realize that when I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to lead what I'm praying for, oftentimes it'll be about my ability to pray for other people. Now, there is a time and a place to pray for your needs. We've talked about that. But a life led of the Spirit, again, begins to redirect me to what I pray about. Where am I beginning to pray for and have concern for my neighbor? Where am I getting to pray for and have concern for the community that I live in? Where am I beginning to have prayer for and concern for the things that God wants to do in my life? You know, at some point, again, it's no longer about what I need and what I want, but it's about how God can use me to pray for those around me, for those that God has called me to care for. And so we see a Spirit-led prayer, and it says in Romans 8:26 and 27, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes with us, groaning is too deep for words, and He searches the heart and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You know, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we believe that God can give us this language that We don't even know, but yet we use it as a means of prayer so that we can come before God in prayer. The Bible calls it speaking in tongues. It's an ability for me to be able to come before God at times. There are words I can't even speak, but I can just come before God in prayer using language I don't necessarily understand, but the Holy Spirit prays through me. Because who greater, again, knows my needs than the Spirit, than the God who created me? Who greater knows my situation than the God who made me? And so we use these things as a means of prayer to allow the Holy Spirit to empower us to live out the life that God calls us to. So many times, you know, and again, we don't pray this as a means to impress others. You know, God is not impressed by, you know, how eloquent or loud or whatever we, it's again, it's about you and God. It's about the prayer that the Holy Spirit needs to pray through you to God for whatever purpose God has in your life. So oftentimes I'll go into a place where it's just me and God, and I'll just at times begin to pray in this language that God has given to me. And because I'm at a loss for words, I can then begin to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to pray through me and allow Him to begin to work out those things in me. And we invite you to that. If it's something you're not familiar with or you have questions about, we invite you to this baptism for the purpose of allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you to live out the life that God is calling you to. It goes on to say in Colossians 1:9, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, continually asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." And so the Spirit prays through us, but also we pray that the Spirit gives us understanding. And so if I'm going to live out this faith and this life that God calls me to, then it must be a faith that's empowered by my prayers. It is the Holy Spirit in me that empowers my prayers to live out the life that God is calling me to. It is the Spirit that helps us to pray as we ought to. I remember as a kid living in Ohio, we lived there for about a year. Grew up in California, moved there for a year, came back. My dad had lost his job. I remember one of the first few nights, the thing I knew about Ohio was this, is that it snowed and it got tornadoes. I love the snow and I hate tornadoes. I can't imagine what it would look like if a tornado and a snowstorm ever hit together. That'd be pretty crazy. It'd be a blizzard maybe. I don't know. But either way, I remember I was laying on the ground. It was very stormy and I was absolutely certain that a tornado was going to touch down and take us to the land of Oz. I don't know if that was going to happen, but I knew a tornado was going to come. Whether I was going to meet Dorothy, I don't know. But all I know is I was terrified, absolutely terrified. And I just began to pray and I'm saying, you know, as an 8-year-old would pray, I said, "God, I am terrified. What do I? I just need you, you know, help me get some sleep. I need peace." And I remember, I just had all this sense that God was there with me, and I fell right to sleep in the middle of the storm, in the middle of just being terrified. I remember the Holy Spirit just brought this peace that I needed in that moment. Now you hear stories over and over of missionaries that go to places where they need God to perform a miracle. And they just cry before God and they just allow the Holy Spirit to lead their prayers and prayers of faith. Because here's the Holy Spirit will not lead you to prayers of fear. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to prayers of uncertainty. The Holy Spirit will lead you to prayers of faith, trusting that God is hearing those prayers and will answer them for you. And so he goes on and we realize this is what is the purpose of an empowered faith? It's so that we can have an empowered witness. And so that we can live out this life that God calls us to, and so that people can see Christ in us, and so that we can speak the truth of Christ to other people. Because you see that when the Holy Spirit fell on the church in the book of Acts, what did it do? It empowered them to live a holy life. It empowered them to courage and boldness to speak the truth of Jesus in the midst of whatever they may face. It empowered their witness to the world around them. And that's what an empowered faith does, that when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, it empowers my faith so that I can live out the witness that God calls me to in this world that He's called me to live in. God never called us as believers to not be in the world, to be a part of a community of people, to get into wherever God would call us to so that we can live out our faith as God calls us to. Man, Paul, he would go to a place and he would look for wherever he could get into the lives of people who didn't know Jesus. God never called his church to retreat. God never called his church to kind of keep to themselves. God never called his church to somehow just be us four and no more by any means. He called us to be a church empowered to live out the life that God called us to in a community that sometimes might not agree with and maybe even be a little hostile to what we believe. Now, we live in a country where, you know, as much as we might feel like people disagree with us, people aren't hostile towards us. People aren't coming after you. People aren't trying to, you know, get at you. And yet God still calls us to live out an empowered faith in our jobs, in our homes, in the community that we live in, whether it's at our school. Where am I allowing my faith to be a witness to the goodness of God and to the work that God is doing in our lives and through you? It's empowered to courage of our, and it's an empowerment to courage of our witness, and it's empowerment to the work of our witness. So it's the courage to have boldness, and it's the work so that they can see Christ in us, and the words that we speak will speak of Christ that we serve. And so it's the Spirit that empowered the disciples to share Christ with boldness, conviction, and compassion. The third thing is this, is he empowers us to serve. The Spirit-led life, the life that God calls us to, is an empowered life of faith so that I can serve as God calls me to. And so oftentimes, you know, sometimes the reason you serve in the church is because there's simply a need and God is calling you to fill it. Amen. How do you know God's calling you to fill it? Because there's a need and you're the person that might be available to do it. Amen. Sometimes we know that God calls us to specific things. But I think so often we wait around so long to get these very specific feelings. And God's like, hey, there's a need right in front of you. It's like we can see a dying person. We're like, God, what do I do? You know, what will do you have for my life? What purpose do you have for my life? And there's this person right in front of you that has a need. And God's like, well, look in front of you. It's like, I know, but God, I don't feel called to help a person that's dying. That was like Mother Teresa's job. I'm like, God, what do I do? And he's like, help. What's the need in front of you? You know, so often we want to do these bigger things and better things, and yet we won't do the very thing that God's putting right before us. You know, to this day, I still tell a lot of the families, and I'll say this to all of you, that in terms of our youth Bible study on Sunday nights, man, if your kid needs a ride, I'll pick them up and I'll take them home. Why? Because it's a need. I'll gladly take them to 7-Eleven afterwards and buy them a soda. It's what I did for years as a youth leader. And the reality is there's a need. And so we wanted to find a place to host the Bible study, and so we opened up our home. Why? Because part of it was a need. Part of it is because we want to support our youth ministry and what they're doing. But we believe in it. And sometimes we do things simply because there's a need. And so what empowers my faith is that I look for reasons to serve, not reasons not to. And I'll say this. If you're serving and there's a struggle, sometimes I wonder if there's something that you might need to work out in your life that the enemy might be trying to use to keep you from being used of God in a capacity of serving. You know, and so it's just an opportunity to be able to be used of God to bless the life of somebody else in serving. Serving was never meant to be a chore. Serving was never meant to be a thing that somehow weighed me down. Now, there are times where you need rest. There's times where you need, you know, there's times where Heather and I make sure that we get away for a couple days so that we can just get some rest. But it's so that I can be able to be a part of what God is doing, whether through his church or in our community. So, you know, we've been getting out and doing the water bottles, and, you know, a few of you have been out, and we're grateful for that. And honestly, it's a lot of fun. I've had more conversations about baseball every Saturday than I've had in a long time. Because every person who's wearing an A shirt, I find them, I begin to talk to them, and we just talk baseball. Yesterday, we met a guy named, he was named after the pitcher Nolan Ryan, which made my day. And so we talked to Nolan, and it was just, you know, in that, we begin to talk about, like, hey, do you go to church? You know, where are you at in life? We just, these things. You can be very honest. You wonder why I always talk about these things over here. Like, I talk about baseball. But to be honest, it's really not about baseball. It's about my ability to use that to pull them into a relationship so that I can begin to ask them the deeper things. And it might mean I have a few conversations about baseball in hopes that it'll open up doors to be able to talk to them about Christ. That's why we put so much on the importance of relationships. You know, we talk about desiring as a church. One of our values is what? An authentic community. I want to create an authentic community so that I can, get into the life of somebody, invite them to a place where they would hopefully trust me to then be able to speak to them and encourage them. You know, and sometimes it may mean in the midst of serving, you know, I have a number of times just, I'll just get away for a couple days just to spend time in prayer, because often what we just need is just a refreshing, an encouragement, just a place where, so I'll go camping, you know, I'll find the cheapest camping spot, put the tent on the back of my truck, and just say, God, I just need some time with you. Or maybe you just need to intentionally carve out some space in your life. Some of the busyness that's happening that will have no impact on your eternity, you push it aside so that you can put yourself before God and just allow him to speak to you and encourage you. And oftentimes, that's all we really need, is us to begin intentionally just putting ourselves before God and carving out that intentional time with him. So he calls us to serve. He calls us to serve one another. I need to be healthy. I need to be the kind of person that God calls me to do so that I can serve other people in love. I need a spirit-led life so that I can live out this life that God calls me to, so that I can love people that many would consider unlovable, so that I can get past my prejudices, get past my assumptions, get past my whatever it is that my judgments about the other person, so that I can get to the heart of the matter. Because it doesn't matter what their hair looks like, what they're dressed like, what all that, because at the end of the day, they're still somebody that God loves, and I need a spirit-empowered life so that I can peel back all the junk that would keep me from being able to get to right to where they're at. And so, and Paul, he wrote this over and over. He goes, where do you serve one another in love? Where are you getting past all these other things? And he even said, he goes, how, if you hate your brother, he goes, how can you have a relationship with me? And he begins to peel all this stuff back so that we can live the life that God calls us to. A spirit-led life enables me to serve others in love when I otherwise might not want to. And I serve in love, and I move past all my assumptions, all my prejudices, all my judgments to get to the heart of the person that God has called me to love. No matter what their life is, no matter what their lifestyle is, no matter what they're going through, God calls me to somehow be a light in the dark places. And that might be being a light in the life of somebody who may not, you may completely disagree with everything about them, but if anything is getting in the way of you being able to love them as God calls you to love them, that thing needs to be moved out of the way. And so why? Because an empowered life, a spirit-led life, empowers me to love people as God has called me to. And so we see that, again, so often, you know, in the Assemblies of God, we can trace our roots back to the revival that happened in 1906, and we'll hang our hat on so many of the things that happened, which were great. But all that was for a main purpose. And what was it? There are two things that drove the Assemblies of God in its early years and should continue to drive our church, and that was missions and evangelism. It wasn't about the things. The things, you know, were simply tools to be used by God so that we could love people and bring them into relationship with him. And so what do missions and evangelism look like to us? It's for that we desire that people come to know and follow Jesus. It's that simple. And so when we evaluate what we do as a church, it answers this question. Is it causing us so that we can reach the world, whether globally or locally, with the message of Jesus? Is it allowing us to fulfill the mission and the vision that God calls us to? You know, in being empowered to serve, we know that Scripture talks a lot about the gifts that God gives us. And it says in his word that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does all the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help other people. And so the Bible talks a lot about the gifts and the purpose of the gifts. And, you know, a lot of people, we make the mistake of somehow making the gift the main thing, and it's just not. The gift is simply for me to be able to be used by God. Whether I'm at a Starbucks and I'm meeting with somebody and we're talking, man, there's times I just need, God, I need the gift of wisdom right now to minister to this person that I'm talking to. Or maybe, you know, I'm sitting there and, you know, God uses his gifts for the purpose of us to be able to do the ministry that he calls us to. Not so that we can have a stage, not so that we can have a spotlight, because that's where it becomes dangerous. One of the things that I believe has happened in the last number of years, especially within Pentecostal and charismatic circles, is we've made gifts the main thing and we hold that up. And God's saying, no, they're just tools for you to be able to minister to one another in love. And if they're not used in humility, then I've seen the destructive nature of gifts not used in humility. I've been personally impacted by those things. So I'm very cautious and very careful with that, because I have no desire to allow that if God has given me a word for somebody, I'm just going to share it with them, but I'm not going to use it as a means to manipulate them or somehow think that I somehow am more spiritual than they are. Because again, it's a gift. God gives it to me. And the reality is, gifts are no bearing of your spiritual maturity at all. It's simply God's kindness to give you what you need in the moment to minister to other people. Amen. And so, but he gives us these gifts so that we can live out the life that God calls us to. Because at the end of the day, when I go out into the world and I talk to a broken person, man, don't you think I really need the gift of wisdom? Yeah. Or maybe he gives me just what the Bible calls a word of knowledge. And honestly, to the guy I'm talking to, I'm not going to be like, you know, I've got a word of knowledge, I'm going to share it with you. It's like, no, I'm just going to go, hey, can I just share something that I think will really encourage you? Now, I recognize that it's God giving this to me for that person. Because again, it's not about the thing. And in this case, the gift. It's about God being able to use me to love my neighbor. So sometimes, what do we need? You know, sometimes we really need a prophetic word. And what does it do? What is that? There's all the talk of prophecy. I think the best definition I've heard is just divine insight to a situation or a circumstance. It isn't that complicated. And I think, again, we made it about the thing, right? You know, it's, and we got to add all this jargon and all this. And it's like, man, just speak what it is that God's sharing and just let that be the thing. Because if we serve one another in love, we realize it's no longer about me or what I want at all. It's not about somehow you being impressed with my spirituality. I do not pray so that you can be impressed with how good I can pray. I don't do my life in Christ to somehow impress you. And if you are sometimes unimpressed with my spiritual life, then it's really not for you anyways. When we read over and over the life that God calls us to, these gifts are used so that we can be a part of the body of Christ. Purpose of the gifts is what? To encourage the body. It's to be used of God. And again, they're not about me. And so it's not that I had this gift as if somehow look at me, look at, you know, look at this title that I carry. You know, but it's simply God using me, because again, it's about God getting the glory and God being receiving the honor, not about anything I can do. And many times I might use a gift and you may never know, because it's really not about me. And it's just, you know, I might be sitting there talking to you and God just gives me something to share. I'm just going to simply share it. For two reasons. Sometimes we might say, you know, and sometimes I know we say, like, you know, I really feel like God's saying this. What if I'm wrong? And now I've somehow convinced that person that I've heard from God. Well, what if I hadn't? And so where am I just going to, in wisdom? You know, now you might say, I feel like this is from God. And if it isn't, you know, but where am I just allowing in humility? Like, hey, can I just share this with you? And let them run with it or do with it whatever they need to do with it. Because here's the big thing. Again, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about how we're part of the kingdom of God, and we want people to be directed towards God and him receiving the glory. And so it really makes it that simple. And so prophecy may come because we need divine truth to be spoken in a moment. We might need a word of knowledge because we need divine insight into a situation. Man, there's times I get to a circumstance and God, I just need your wisdom right now. And the Bible says that it's these gifts that he gives us. You know, wisdom is a gift that he gives us. Divine insight is a gift that he gives us. And these gifts are to be used in humility so as they focus on God and not you. See, gifts are used in humility are powerful. And I remember the other, you know, when we had that VBS team here, Heather and I came in and one of the gentlemen just met us and he goes, hey, can I just share something with you? I feel like God wanted me. And we're just like, yeah. And he goes, I really felt like the Lord said, and he just shared some different things. And we're like, have we talked to you about what we're going through right now? And he was like, no. And it was like if he had just hit the nail on the head. And honestly, it was just the three of us. It was Wendell, if you remember him. It was just Wendell and Heather and I. And of course, we were just blown away. It wasn't around anybody else. It wasn't for anybody to be seen. It was just simply him being used of God. And just in complete humility, he just said, I hope that encourages you. And he goes, if it's not from God, you know, I'm sorry. But he goes, I just felt like, he goes, I couldn't sleep. And he almost was nervous to come to us with what he had given, because it wasn't about him. And that's the power, I believe, of the gifts, is that when done in humility, they're powerful. It's oftentimes why I think the best use of the gifts isn't from, you know, where can I appear, you know, because, you know, from this, at times the Lord will give something for the congregation, but oftentimes it's in relationship with one another. As I get to know you, the Holy Spirit can begin to speak to me, to you. The most powerful I've seen in use to the gifts is the relationship I build with others, and they'll be able to speak life into me, truth into me. And it's that one-on-one where it's not about anything other than the two of you and what God desires to do. We allow him to do that. Gifts used in pride is destructive. So don't use them for self-promotion or manipulation. Because in reality, you know, again, because they're gifts, spiritual maturity isn't tied to gifts. They're gifts that God gives them. Somebody could get saved and right away God could give them wisdom for a situation or a person. Why? Because it's a gift. And they're not given in any measurement of your own maturity. Now, you want to know where your spiritual maturity is, let's look at your fruit. Because it goes to that last part that I believe God speaks us to, and that's the empowered life that he calls us to. You guys, here's what you're going to find. My focus as a pastor is to get you to live out the life God calls you to outside of these walls. The biggest, most important things aren't going to happen on a Sunday when we gather for an hour and a half, and then we go home. Because if this is it for you, then you're empty. What it is what happens when we go outside of these walls. When we go into Starbucks and we meet the stranger on the street, or when I'm passing out water, you know where I need the power of God to be at work in my life? It's not in here. I mean, it can. I'm not trying to take away that God won't have a moment, but it's when I'm standing on the farmer's market and somebody walks up to me and I need to begin to speak into their life or pray over them or encourage them or give them a bottle of water. It's when I'm out in the world. I mean, you see the power of God at work in the early church when they went out among the people. And I need a spirit-led life so that I can be used of God in a world that at times will be hostile to the message of Jesus. And at times, I always need the Spirit of God to lead my life so that I can often begin to work against the things in my life that need to change. So the sign of spiritual maturity, the sign of a spirit-led life, I believe is found in this. What are the fruits being born in you that we read in a verse like Galatians? Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is my favorite verse. It's one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, and self-control. And he said, against such things there is no law. Essentially, he's saying, you know, if I have the Spirit of God in me, I don't need the law to lead me anymore. I now have the Spirit of God leading me. And how do I know when the Spirit of God is at work in me? Because the fruits of the Spirit are being born out in my life. Spiritual maturity is not measured in gifts. I don't give you a gift based on your maturity. That's why kids get a lot more gifts. It's not because they're mature, because they like toys, right? But you give it to them because you love them, right? God gives us these gifts that he talks about so that we can encourage one another in love and so that we can do the ministry that God calls us to. But the fruit bears witness to the Spirit of God working out things in my life. And so if I deal with anger, man, where do I need to put it before God so that he can work out that issue in my life? If I'm dealing with bitterness, where do I need to allow the Spirit of God in my life? If I'm struggling with a sin, where do I need the Spirit of God to help me wrestle through that? And where do we as a body of believers show grace with people as they wrestle through the things they might be wrestling through? So the Spirit-led life, I need the Holy Spirit. When people ask me, why do I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because, man, life is tough without it. Life is a struggle, and I need the Spirit of God in me to move me towards the life that he calls me to. You guys, I've been raised in the Assemblies of God. I've been raised in Pentecost. I've been raised in, and there are so many, you say that word, there's so many different, there are 1,000 different ways all that operates. And I believe the most powerful way Pentecost and the Spirit-led life can be led in your life is how you're living it out day in and day out in your prayer life, when you're in your community, and when you're getting out among the people that God is calling you to love. And if I'm truly filled with His Spirit, then the fruit is going to be borne out in my life. And the gifts are going to be done in such humility so as to make sure the focus is on God and not myself. The reality is it's not complicated. Man, God gives you something to share, just share it. Use plain English. Just speak the truth. It's like, and I mean that. And I say that because I'll be very honest. I've grown up in all of this. You're not going to say or do or think anything that I haven't seen 1,000 times over. And to be very honest, it shaped me to understand why I believe the most powerful way to live out the Spirit-led life is A, in humility, B, in love, and C, that if I'm going to be used of God, I speak what it is that God wants to say, and I just don't. I mean, if what I do as a pastor impresses you because or doesn't impress you, because whether or not I can be spiritual or not, then we're measuring things by the wrong terms. So how do we measure a Spirit-led life? Again, my brothers, whatsoever is pure, holy, just, honest, of good report, what does it say of these virtues? And think on these things, so He leads us into what we think on. He leads us to this passage that He calls us to in Galatians, where there is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, against things there is no law. How do I know I have a Spirit-led life? Because if I'm led by God, then my love is patient, kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres, and love never fails. A Spirit-led life is a life led by the kind of love that God calls us to, so that we can impact the world that God calls us to. And the focus is on Jesus and nobody else. So you want to live a Spirit-led life. Man, I encourage you, pursue the life that God calls you to. When you go home or when we have our time of prayer, you can say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. We believe that God gives you the ability to speak another language so that you can what? So that you can be able to come before God in prayer and say, God, now I can allow the Holy Spirit to really pray through me. But it's never about the thing. It's never about you. It's really about how God can use you to impact the world that God puts you in. And there's going to be people that are going to say, Lord, didn't I do these great things in your name? God, look at how amazing I was. You know, God, I mean, people were healed. I did all these things. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Because it wasn't about the things. Not to say the things don't happen. I mean, when I spend time in prayer or I pray for somebody, they don't get healed. It's not about the thing. So this morning, as we spend time in worship, we're going to invite our prayer team. We're going to close up our time in a song. And as we sing, we want to encourage you to stand this morning. We want to invite you to stand. Let's stand and let's just take a moment to worship together. But as you do that, what is it that you need to put before God this morning? What has God spoken to you? In this message, what is it that God has said to you this morning? What is it you need to put before God so that you can have an empowered faith? So that you can have an empowered life that God calls you to, so that you can have a life led by the Holy Spirit to be lived out in the world around you. Let's take some time and let's worship together. We'll have our prayer team available. Let's believe together and let's pray together for what God desires to do this morning.